My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us attend to our scripture reading this morning from the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 17 through 19. You shall not murder, neither shall you commit adultery, neither shall you steal. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, as we have come to gather in your name through virtual reality, through new spaces and new time, we ask that you be with us. We ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I want to do one thing with you before we even start getting into scripture this morning, or even start taking the opportunity to reflect upon it. What I'd like you to do is a bit of a brief exercise. And no, I'm not asking us to run to the kitchen and get a cup of tea or coffee, or, you know, settle down, maybe a drink of water as we go along. That's fine. But what I want you to do this morning as we prepare to take some time to reflect on our scripture this morning is this. I want you to take a deep breath. Hold it for a couple of seconds. And now just release it slowly. One more time. Take in a deep breath. Hold it. Now let it out slowly, releasing your cares and concerns to God. And now as each breath you take this morning, as we reflect upon scripture, or as you go through the week, remember with each breath that God is filling you with the Holy Spirit as you daily live your lives. Centered in Christ Jesus, we come now to reflect upon the word that we have, a word that begins with, what a week. What a week it has been from a week ago last Sunday. If you take a look at the month of March, the 1st and the 8th of March, when we first gathered together in worship, we were all together anticipating things might be a bit different in a week or so. And then before we knew it, on the 15th of March, there's a group of us, a staff, gathered together in the sanctuary recording worship for everyone. And since that time, we have gone from recording to using technology for ourselves through Zoom conferencing, through YouTube, through recording and live streaming. What a change in lifestyle. No wonder people feel a bit discombobulated. Would that be a good word to talk about how we feel with things and how they are? Because we're doing all this in the midst of perpetual pandemic updates, working to ensure our own needs and our family needs are met, and having a new normal thrust upon us. And I find that it's at times like this when I take a deep breath and take a step back that I can refocus myself, and maybe we can refocus ourselves and remember that God is with us wherever we go. In the opening verses of the book of Joshua, Joshua is reminded of God's perpetual presence as he is given God's command, given marching orders to lead Israel into the promised land. In Joshua 1:9, Joshua hears and we read God's command to be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. These are the words that Joshua and the nation of Israel have in their minds and in their hearts as they enter into uncharted territory, new land, the promised land. Now, you and I might not be entering into the promised land or have entered in the promised land. I actually think that would be kind of a misnomer right now to think that this is the promised land in the way we are living. But we have entered into that unfamiliar territory. And like the Israelites, we are called to live in a time of uncertainty. Even when we receive something good or new or something that we desire, acceptance into the school that you want to go to, or maybe it's a new job, or you get your dream job, or maybe it's even more so a change in life, the birth of a child or the adoption of a child, or change in just living conditions in general. It can be good things, but even though we receive those good things, we do enter into uncharted territory where we are at. But as we enter into those good things, as well as even things that we don't anticipate like we are today, we rely on past experiences and we rely on God as we walk through them. This past week, as I was thinking about the change in lifestyle for all of us, and in particular for myself, I was reminded that, and I shared this yesterday as we had a session meeting and some of the staff, that I have moved into not necessarily a good lifestyle, but it's a lifestyle of being in deployment mode when I was deployed aboard a ship. My focus and change in life is upon work, hopefully trying to get some exercise, and eating. Now, that can be good or that can be bad. When I was deployed, if I got 4 hours of sleep in a row, I was very fortunate because I found myself working and then trying to grab a nap for an hour and then going back to work. It's not really a healthy lifestyle. And so I have to be mindful of how I'm living now in this new time, this new focus. And I must focus on the basics of living with God and with others in family and that. I have to develop a new rhythm, as we all are having to develop a new rhythm. I also recognize that as my family gathered back together, that we have maybe moved into some past experience. I've noticed our behavior as we live is how we live through the experiences of typhoons when we were in Okinawa. Now, the difference now is a typhoon only lasts 24 to 48 hours. Today, we don't know what the end date is in close quarters. But as we lived in close quarters at that time, we took on doing a variety of things with one another. We not only watched movies or TV if we had power, sometimes we didn't have power, but we also would break out games, play cards, play board games, read a book. We shifted the way we looked and made things more basic. We adapted to a new normal during that period of time. In fact, we had such protected because the apartment building we lived in, our neighbors in that, we could get out because it was protected. We'd run around and people would be baking in their kitchens and that, and people would be sharing cakes and cookies with one another. It was a new normal. It was a new living with one another in a different community. The other thing I remembered in a new normal for us was the elder statesman, Dick Jones, of the first funeral home that I worked in right out of college, out of the University of Minnesota. Dick was a tremendous man of faith, and he taught me to pray every time I received a call. He said, when you receive a call, pray immediately for the family, pray at the facility where you're going, pray for the staff who care for one another. Pray when you get back to the funeral home. Just lift everybody up that you have come in contact with, whether you know them or not, in prayer. Pray for families and loved ones alike. As I thought about Dick this past week, it reminded me that every day is a new day. Every day has the potential of being a new normal. I mean, if you think about it, when have you had a Groundhog Day where everything was exactly the same? It's not. We have little subtleties throughout life that change how we live and we respond to those subtleties. And it changes the way we live and creates a new normal for us. But in those subtleties of life, in living through virtual reality and connecting with one another through telephones and the internet, and this morning for worship, it's a time also to connect to God, because God is the constant in this. That's what Dick taught me. and reinforced every single day I went to work with him. He taught me that in the midst of all that swirls around us, that our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator and Redeemer and Sanctifier, is with us wherever we go. This is what Joshua was reminded of when he was leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. It's also what Moses reminded the Israelites of in Deuteronomy 5 in the Ten Commandments. He reminded them of God's promise to be with them. And he gave them not just a list for ethical or moral living, but a way of life in the midst of change, of God's daily presence with them. Our new normal isn't just one of more isolation or decreased human physical contact. It's a change in our new normal of how we live one-on-one, in the presence of one another. And in an environment in which we currently have, where we don't have group gatherings or eating in restaurants or Bible studies, where we're physically present, we have God's presence with us through scripture, through prayer, and through one another. I mean, if you just look at the numbers that have joined this morning, whether it's on YouTube or Zoom, or even those who will listen to our broadcast and our worship later today or tomorrow, we are still gathered together in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not alone. As difficult as it may seem, we are not alone. We have each other, and the Holy Spirit is moving in and through each and every one of us. And it's a reminder to us that our new normal is really the normal of Pentecost and God and the Holy Spirit being in and through us. So how does this really look then through our scripture readings of you shall not murder, or you shall not commit adultery, or you shall not steal as one-on-one living? Well, if we look at those, it's pretty easy to think and see how those function and work together when we have physical contact or we can be together physically. But what about in our current situation? What does that look like? Well, there are prohibitions challenging us as we live one-on-one. And are they considered in the context of our community? And if we look at our community today, that context has changed where we are at and how we live in and amongst our own families. And as we venture out into the stores and the world to get the essentials for living. But one-on-one living, what does that look like? Well, I go back to Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 48, because here Jesus talks about our one-on-one living, not just in public community as we see as our norm, but in our homes and families, and even now today as we go out to get the essentials. What I mean by this, Jesus says, "You shall not murder." And he says, "Whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Racha, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool." What Jesus is getting at here is it's a matter of our attitude. How do we think about one another? What is happening with our hearts, minds, and souls with where we are at and living our lives? Anger and saying you're fool are reflections of what's happening internally with us, and how we behave is a reflection of our encounter in living one-on-one. A closer example to this, or understanding of our attitude, is Jesus' response on committing adultery, where he says, "Whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed with her in his heart." It's from the inside out. It's our hearts and our minds that we are to model as Christians to the world. That's the gospel. Pastor Joel touched on that last week when he talked about how we live graciously amongst one another and take care of one another, and how we hopefully don't stockpile certain paper products. The majority of us, you've been to a grocery store lately, right? You've seen what the shelves look like. I know that's not real encouraging when you go look at the shelves. They're empty. There's no paper products. There's no meat. There's no frozen food. And little produce as people have gone to stockpiling or hoarding for themselves. It's even difficult to find bottled water for those who need it, at least at this time. I wonder at this time, I really wonder why we need to stockpile and hoard, because we still can get out and go to the grocery stores and get what we need. We might want a few extra things on the shelf as we normally do. Let's be honest, we like to have a little bit extra. But there's really no need to function as we do. My next door neighbor the other day shared with my wife, Cindy, that she drove up to the grocery store at Camp Pendleton to pick up a few items. And when she arrived at the grocery store, the line to the store was the length of the parking lot. You got in line to go into the store, and it wasn't because they were limiting the number of people in the store. It's because the line weaved up and down the aisles throughout the store. She talked to a woman who had come out and finished her shopping, and that's what she was told, is you get in line now, and in 2 to 3 hours, you will have woven yourself through the whole store and be able to check out, and there's limited supplies on the shelves. Well, at the age of 89, she decided it wasn't worthwhile to stand in line, and she'd find another time to go do her shopping or work through those lines. I've never seen or even heard lines that bad, even on paydays. Nothing has changed, at least that I'm aware of. Food is readily available, and so are other products. There's no need to be stockpiling, at least that I'm aware of. You may be more aware of something. But why do people see the need to buy more than what they need? To stockpile, to hoard. And as I think about how we're behaving that way, I began reflecting upon today's commandments and how what our behavior towards ourselves and towards our neighbors is reflected in our hoarding of those items, of food and paper products. To keep more than what you or I might need for a week or 2 weeks, where people are stockpiling for months, what they might need on a regular basis. And could be this a reflection of stockpiling or hoarding? And I'm just asking, is this a reflection? Could it be a reflection of murder or theft? Could we be harming our neighbor by preventing our neighbor having what they all need and what's going on? I'm just posing the questions. Could hoarding endanger our neighbor's lives? Could hoarding dishonor the relationships in our lives? And is it a reflection of theft? Is it preventing our neighbor what they might need to live? Those are the questions that I come about when I look at our commandments, our proposals, or our prohibitions today. And it's not the way we're called to live as Christians. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to love our neighbor. We're called not to do them harm. We're called to help them thrive, not just survive in the world today. We're called to give the gift of life in times of uncertainty and certainty. Now is a time for us to thrive. It's a time not to panic or to be anxious, because as we enter into unknown territory, we know one thing for sure. One guarantee we have, and that's the promise of God to always be with us. We know God is always with us. I know that because I look at the bottom of my gallery page for Zoom right now, and I see we have well over 100 people right now on Zoom participating and worshiping in community. That's a big change of life. Well, we want more people? Yes, we want to see it grow weekly, but over 100 people have gathered together right now to live stream, to be community with one another. That's the Holy Spirit. God is with us. This isn't even mentioned. I can't see YouTube, what's going on YouTube. But later on, more and more people will join with YouTube and the recorded and all that. And I think Barnaby, I don't remember what numbers he gave me last week, but I think over 500 people actually viewed our recorded worship last week. Over 500. And we're on the internet. So it's not just in Hollywood or LA. We're talking people have viewed and worshiped with us throughout the country, if not throughout the world. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what's taking place right now. That's what we rejoice in. What an exciting time in turbulent times to be as we see a Pentecost moment with the Holy Spirit moving through us. And yes, we have to move even still more so, be more intent on calling one another, on checking up on one another. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because we are reminded of new skills that we, in doing so, that we are not alone, that God is with us. As we depart from here, there's one final thought I want to leave with you. As Jesus Christ has called us to live with one another in community, to live one-on-one. When I graduated from high school, I was given a devotion book for college students by some dear friends, the Scalgis. And in that book, one of my favorite devotions was devotion number 7. And it gives a prescription for living in the new normal as we seek God's presence and God's security in these times. In that devotion is a poem quoted, written by John Oxenham. And this is what I'd like to leave with you today. Not for one single day can I discern the way, but this I surely know. Who gives the day will show the way, so I securely go. To God be the glory now and forever. Amen.